The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Sunday, once again, the 22nd of September, and we're here in the studio. Today is, again, September 22, 2024. My name is Mark Kent. I'm your host. You're listening to Sovereign Mind Radio. I'm here in the great state of Jefferson with my sister, Linda, who does all the heavy lifting.
Good morning.
And we got Dave.
Hey.
Hey, Dave.
Hi.
Hi.
There you go.
Wow, that was quick and short. I just thought and everything.
I'm just trying to be fair to everybody.
Yeah, okay. I just with Sam today. Yours okay? Okay.
Very good.
Maybe it's just mine.
We have a special guest.
Whoa, now that was really hard.
Oh, that was mine. Went right up.
So did mine. So how are we on the same?
I don't know, but that there you go. Okay. Anyway, we have a special guest with us today. We've got Teresa Roberts, and she's running for SCOE. I'm not sure exactly what that stands for.
Shasta County
Office of Education.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a mouthful.
Yeah, there you go. And she's going to tell us who she is and why she's running and what's this all about. What's going on, Teresa?
Well, I am running because I need to see some change. I think it's necessary right now with the generations coming up and how they're failing. They're not being taught in schools. It's pretty much more or less a glorified daycare. In a lot of these schools, they expect the kids to learn in the same way. And that just doesn't work anymore. I don't think it ever worked. But I was a teenage nightmare. I
don't
know the rest of us were anything like that. No.
I was the middle of five. High energy and rebellious as all get out. And I used to hear from my parents, I don't know where our next meal's coming from. And I thought, you know what? I'm never going to say that. I'm never going to say that. So I left when I was 15, came back when I was 17. I quit school for 2 years, came back when I was 17, and decided, you know what? It's time to do something. So I went back to school. I went to Pioneer, which was a great school, had an amazing principal at that time. It was your choice to be there. You didn't have to be there. If you didn't want to learn, there's the door.
Right. So is that a continuation
school? It's a continuation school. So I did that and college at the same time, so I was able to graduate only a half a year late. But in that time, I did wood shop. And I actually, I think I had like seven classes for one of the semesters. And that's where I learned a lot of woodworking skills. I learned to be able to use my imagination and then see it with my hands. I was able to actually make money off of it. So that's kind of my nutshell growing up. I did wind
so you
up.
You went into the trades and carpentry or what?
No, I actually, well, I guess kind of I did. I was hoping to get into law enforcement, but because my eyes were so bad, it didn't happen.
Right.
It didn't happen. So I thought, well, I'm just going to go out and make money. So I went into the lumber mills for a while, worked in the lumber mills, and then decided, you know, I don't like my lead man. So I put in, and I wound up at the paper mill. So I was there until they closed. And just before they closed,
that was Simpson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just before they closed, I met my husband. And when they decided, they just shut it down. Nobody was forewarned. I took my retirement out, and we invested in our own business. And so that's another trade, which was asphalt, paving, grading.
Oh, okay.
Equipment, heavy equipment. So that's where we've been. But before I did that, I went ahead and got my degree in business with a focus on accounting because I didn't want somebody else doing all my books.
Right.
So that was that. Well, during that meantime, we became a hugely blended family. So we have six kids together. Well, in the blend.
In the blend. There's six little kids running around.
Well, actually, the majority of them are adults now. We got two 37-year-olds, a 34-year-old, 33-year-old, and a 31-year-old. And a 16-year-old. Mm. So with this blend, because they're from, we adopted a boy 12 years ago, due to me being a rebel, I was able to pick out a lot of his issues. But I didn't have the education to know how to help him process. And so during this 12 years in the ditches and going through learning how to get him to open up and process the traumas of his youth, it's opened me up to seeing what's going on and how it's devastating the generation coming up.
So what, did he go to public school?
He did go to public school for a time. And I remember telling them many times, listen, he's not ready to go forward. He's not learning anything. You can't, he's not learning this way. He needs to go back to traditional paper and pencil. And they told me, no, that's not the way we do it anymore. So when we finally did pull him out, he wound up going to a school in Utah where they did paper and pencil. He went from going into seventh grade, he went from a third grade level to his seventh grade level in 1 year. Straight A's.
Wow.
Okay. Kids learn different. They learn in different ways. So he's been learning the equipment's trade. This kid, by the time he's 18, he will be a master equipment operator. So no matter what, even if he chooses not to go into that trade, it'll always be there for him should he need that backup. Mm-hmm. And if he's got to go to school, hey, you know what? He can make money doing this and put himself through school if that's what he so chooses.
Seems like the trades are becoming more and more important these days because
they've always been important.
Well, I think more so even now just because of the fact that you're getting so many people that are coming out with degrees in gender philosophy or something really useless in a real marketplace that nobody has any. You're not going to go get a job. You know, they're being indoctrinated with stuff and giving titles and credentials on things that don't matter is part of the problem.
Well, they've taken them out of schools. Yeah, most schools don't even do trades anymore. I mean, they haven't for
a few that are, but when you look at, I mean, so I've got two of my kids that have gone to the universities. One of them is an engineer, a mechanical engineer, and he does great. And the other one is he's got a degree in sustainable manufacturing. He is actually running the projects for the IT plants going up in Phoenix, Arizona. Okay, so both of them did really well, and they were not indoctrinated because they had their feet were stable. Okay, they knew what their beliefs were. And then I have two. Actually, I think all the boys learned welding in school, so they all know how to weld. Two of them wound up becoming entrepreneurs, business owners in the field of welding. And one of them is, I mean, he's got a hugely successful business in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. The other one has now decided that he needed to be into the unions because he's got a family now and they need insurance. They need medical insurance. He makes good money. He can go anywhere in this country and make money. Okay? And they learn that in mm-hmm. school.
My biggest thing that I've always said about school and the weakest link about it is they teach people skills on how to work for somebody else, but very few of them teach them skills on how to start, create, and run your own business. And right. I think that would be very helpful in educating the youth coming up, understanding how to start something for themselves and living their own dream.
Correct. I absolutely agree with that. And another thing I've noticed, too, is the monies that come in through SCOE are huge.
That's what we've heard, that there's a lot of money that's coming in and it's not being accounted for necessarily.
When you look at the administrators, there's 140 credentialed administrators that are pulling over $20 million in wages and benefits. They look over 169 students this year.
That's insane.
Wow.
So where's the money going? It's not going to the kids. You know, it's not going to the kids.
Well, it's going to the administration. It's going to retirement funds. It's going a lot of places for these overpaid people, in my opinion, that are milking the system for their own ends and where production is not. See, that's the thing about being in your own business. You have to produce or you're out. These guys don't have to produce, and they just keep getting raises.
That's
right. You would think they would have to be accountable to somebody or give some kind of report of their progress in order to keep getting the funding, but evidently that's not happening.
And that needs to change. That needs to change. We need to go into these programs and see what's the outcome of these programs.
What's the objective of these programs?
Right.
Yeah. And what's the outcome? And what did you accomplish in that time frame?
Right. So this boy that we adopted 12 years ago, he's very high energy. And I can't tell you how many people have said, you know what, you need to get this kid on meds. No, we don't. We just need to help him learn.
That seems to be the answer.
It is, because people don't want to deal with teaching the kids. So I have a grandson that he's a wild child. I mean, he's wild and very, very high energy. Funny as all get out, but if you can't channel that energy into something, it becomes very destructive. Uh-huh. So I saw something on Facebook a couple years ago and I was like, wow. And so we decided to put a gymnastics ring in the middle of our living room ceiling. And let me tell you what, the kid has learned amazing things on that ring. His agility, his physical agility, is great.
Right.
So when I started watching this, I'm like, Kevin, I cannot wait to get him into Ninja Coalition. He's not old enough yet, but he's getting there. But when you start looking at all this energy, if you can't focus this energy on something that's productive, becomes destructive.
Right.
And a lot of these kids that are into these, you know, in the troubled kids schools, they got a lot of bottled up energy. What are you going to do with it?
Well, a lot of it's just not taught and thought properly. So you go through and you learn all of these fantastical things like quadratic equations, and you never get any application to why it's important. And you never have any understanding of a lot of these equations that you're learning. Sure, you learn, all right, so I'm learning a curve, but you never learn that, hey, maybe I want to work on the Villaggio, and maybe I want to be able to figure out those water streams that they have and show the application and actually have some students actually be able to do the things. You've got all the money that's coming into these places, but right now it's basically brain dead with a bunch of people that are just saying, oh, here's this, do it, and we're coming off of a model that was made for an industrial age when you had workers that weren't made to think for themselves. That's what the school system was set up around. And the problem that I see with the school system in its entirety right now is that it's still pushing these ideals in a world that I've got all of the access in the world right here at my fingertips on the computer. I can learn how to do almost anything I want to on YouTube, except maybe become a lawyer, a doctor, an attorney, and it's all the same thing as far as those go, but yeah. I still need college for that, but very few things do I need college for to be able to be successful at it. So I've successfully run a business for the last 10 years doing web development, and in those 10 years I've had people that came to me fresh out of the college system saying, hey, I'm fresh out of college, I'd like to work with you. And the problem is they're fresh out of college, but they've learned stuff that's outdated by 6 to 8 years. And I tell them, like, hey, you're talking about CSS, which you'd have to write out 6 to 10 pages for what I can do in a page on SAS. Well, I don't know SAS. Well, what are you going to do about it? I don't know it. Will you pay me to learn it? I'm not going to pay you to learn it. Go learn it. You just got out of college. You clearly paid to educate yourself, but the education that you got was worthless and outdated.
100%.
Well, yeah, just because you go and get an education doesn't mean that you can go out in the real world and get a job and apply it to anything.
Correct.
Again, like the trades or something, teaching them something beyond that. You know, a lot of people go, well, if you don't have a degree, you know.
Yeah, we've gotten.
Then you don't have no knowledge, and that's not true.
Right.
In the real world.
Right. We've gotten away from teaching the kids how to think.
Yeah.
We teach them what to think. And that's where the drawback is.
Mm-hmm. Critical thinking. Also, yeah. I think that if you can teach kids to have a purpose in life, that's more important than any of the education that you can give them. Because if they don't have a why and a good why that they want to struggle through and have a commitment and have something special that means something to them, you know, their passion, so to speak, of why they're doing stuff, they have no drive then to have achievement. And so that's the biggest thing I was taught growing up from a couple of people, is that you better have a pretty good why, so that way when you show up and you go to work, it's not work anymore, because now you want to do it so with energy and with commitment, and then that's how you learn the best and that's how you achieve the most.
Right. I think another thing, too, is we're teaching our kids to be more dependent instead of independent.
Right. But
that is true.
You know, that's got to stop. I mean, what you got a 26-year-old bringing their parents to a job interview?
Mm-hmm. You're not the first person that told me that either.
Wow, really?
Ridiculous.
That's a real thing.
That's a real thing.
It's a real thing, and it's happening here too.
Unfortunately, I've known a couple of business owners that are here local that they've been going to have job interviews, and these children that are fresh out of college and they haven't worked a job, they're 26, 27 years old, and their parents are coming to them to the job interviews.
Wow.
That's like, strange.
Wow.
Yeah, that's really strange. I remember one of my first interviews. I was like 15, 16. I went by myself. Nobody went with me.
Right?
You know what I mean?
Right.
This is how you learn how to conduct yourself.
Well, and here's some of the problems with it, too. You have a lot of these jobs now that McDonald's was never supposed to be a career. It was never supposed to be something that you were going to hang your hat on and be, I was a McDonald's employee. Now, there's nothing against McDonald's from the standpoint they're great. A lot of billionaires have ended up coming out of McDonald's because they teach systems. They mm-hmm. teach the ability to show up on time and be able to run smoothly as a systems-based environment, which is great when you're setting up a business. But to hang your hat on the idea that you should get $20 an hour to flip burgers is exactly why you can't get a person to take your order when you go into McDonald's now. You have to work on the kiosk and the rest of it. And it's the true minimum wage, no matter what you end up making it, is zero. That's the true minimum wage.
But like you say, that was a stepping stone. Mm-hmm. Just like a right. lot of things with being brought up in the school system or the trades and stuff, there was certain stepping stones for you to do in order to get better things in life at the end.
Right.
But again, like Mark said, you got to have a why. If you don't have those stepping stones and a desire, then you have no desire to do anything.
And I think the desire comes from benefiting not just it yourself. You know, I think the strongest desire comes from benefiting your family, your country, something besides you, your community, something to make the world a better place is how this should be focused on. Because it's like, you know, if you give to a charity, it makes you feel good. If you give back to the community in a way, you can not only take care of yourself and be financially independent, but you can also feel pretty good about what you're doing and want to, you know, continue doing that. So how do we bring this back into what we're talking about? How do we get
you back into the system and why you're running for office and what is your vision for it?
Well, one of the things that I'm accused of is not having qualifications or an education to sit on a board. Number one, you don't need qualifications or an education to sit on the board. So you get some of these people who are sitting on the boards that I'm a case manager for this, and I've been on this board, and I've been on this board. But the reality of it is you may have book smarts, but you don't have in the trench, dirty hands smarts.
Right.
You've never walked through the struggles with kids that they go through.
Right.
You know, and we're not talking, you know, a 6 month walk. We're talking a full from little to adulthood walk.
Well, anymore, in my opinion, a degree from a higher learning university is almost a handicap, in my opinion, because these people come out, especially, you know, in the last 10 years, thinking that they're owed something, that, you know, they've gone through this and this degree means something, and they have no actual wisdom or learning skills in the environment of practical, you know, common sense, getting things done.
Correct.
And that's, I think, what would be a good application for what you're talking about, is to bring into the school boards is just plain common sense on how things actually work.
Right, right. So I don't know what all these credentialed administrators do.
Or what they've been doing.
Yeah, I don't know what they do. But I figure, I mean, you got 169 students that you're looking over. Why not take one kid each and learn that kid? That's the one thing that I've done with all six of them is, as I've learned them, I've studied them. I know when they're lying. I know when they're hurt, you know, a heart hurt. I know that because I've studied them. You know what brings the sparkle in their eye, and that's what you got to find. But it's just a dollar to them. But this is the generation. I mean, this generation coming up is going to be making decisions for us. And I don't want a bunch of idiots out there making decisions for me.
Yeah, we already got
yeah,
we got a lot of that going on, yes.
We're hoping to kind of change that a little bit now.
Yeah, exactly. So bringing some common sense to the boards. I can't help but think, you know, when you're talking about what are they bringing, the people that are existing there, it sounds like they're enriching themselves a lot more than they are actually coming to, you know, with a passion to solve the problems here. But, do you have any nuts and bolts on this that you can bring? You know, are you just going to go in there and try to learn everything and figure out what the best way is to solve the problem?
You know, I'm going to have two people next to me that are bulldogs in this situation. Richard Gallardo is one of them, and he's super knowledgeable. I mean, and he knows how to get into the systems.
Right.
And then Jackie, she's a fighter.
Had her on last week. Yeah.
She's done amazing out there in Anderson. And I think that I can learn a lot from them, but I know what I know when it comes to the trauma that these kids have been through. I mean, I've been in the ditches with it, and books aren't going to show you. You got to get in and really look at it. That's what I'd like to see. I'd like to get into the programs and see what programs there are and what the outcome is of them.
Exactly.
Yeah, so
I think the parents would like to know that as well, not just
absolutely.
You, but the parents with COVID. I think it woke them up to a lot of things and went, what the heck is going on? Because we never paid attention or were too busy, whatever the case was, and all of a sudden it's in their face. Hey, this isn't working the way we thought it was working.
Right.
So how would you go about measuring the success of a program?
You know what? If you could actually have one successful student out of that, it might be worth it. But what kind of money are they throwing at the program?
Right. Well, I would think that you should be able to do better than that.
You would think.
Over the long haul, because I would think that maybe if you have one success that you could learn from your success and duplicate that somehow to make the program more successful overall.
Yeah.
And how long has the programs been going on? Correct. From my understanding, is that it's not like they just started. They've been going on for quite a while.
And they keep adding new programs.
So what kind of programs are we talking about?
I'm not exactly sure what programs.
Yeah, see, I don't know enough about the subject to really ask the right questions. So I'm trying to figure out.
All I know is what I went through with my son. In the programs that they were trying to instill with him, and then the push for medication so that he could sit still. And it's like, but that doesn't work for everybody.
Well, I think it doesn't work for anybody. I think the medicating your child thing is a canard that was perpetrated, you know, 10, 20 years ago. They tried to medicate our kids, and all they were was they had a lot of energy. Put them out on the football field or something and channel that energy into something good, and it didn't bother them at all, you know? Yep. I mean, they came out fine.
Yep, but if you're looking at it, they want to medicate everybody, whether it's children or adults. That's their answer for everything. Yeah.
Oh, you feel a little depressed here? Let me give you this drug.
Exactly.
Brought to you by Pfizer.
Yeah. I mean, the studies that they're showing on that is the damage that it does to the brain.
Well, yeah.
I mean, even after you stop taking it, the damage has already been done.
Well, and you start looking at things like Adderall, which is just another fancy name for amphetamines. Right. So it's mm-hmm. the same. It's very similar composition. It's not exactly the same as meth, but it's very similar. And the addiction levels are also very similar. And you also have, it's such a pandemic within the country right now that you have people that are buying their Adderall off the street because even though they have a prescription for it, their medical coverage doesn't cover it in most places. And the company that actually produces it ended up buying out the generic company, and they're not making as much of that now, so now you're not covered, and your kid's addicted to something that's costing you $2,000 a month that you can't get legally, even though you have a prescription for. There's no money here at all in turning around and making a bunch of these kids be put into special classes and put over here when, actually they're just high-thinking people, and they're sick and tired of being told to do the same thing that they figured out how to do the first month that was there, and you're not holding their attention at all because you're not catering to the fact that they're actually advancing at faster levels than what you can perceive and put on the table for them.
How prevalent is that, really? Mm-hmm. I mean, is that an isolated circumstance where they're drugging, or at least trying to push the drugs on the kids, or is there a lot of them on it? I mean, does anybody know?
Oh, I don't know now, but I know when my youngest was in public school, which I pulled out, they pushed it a lot.
Oh,
that
yeah.
was their answer for everything. If a kid wasn't complying, that was the answer.
Boom.
Get them on the drug.
Yep. So I met a lady who has 6 adopted children. 6
Wow.
of them. All of them are on meds.
So what do you do? Just cold turkey them and once they're there, how do you solve that problem?
Me as a parent, you have to go through the struggles with them. It's hard. They wanted to medicate me too. But guess what? You know, you got to learn that the hardest thing about ADHD, which I think is a stupid, diagnosis, mm-hmm. is it's a curse when you're young. But when you become an adult and you learn those social boundaries, it's an absolute blessing. If you can keep focused, both my husband and I are both high energy, you know. He can put in a 14-hour day with no problem. No problem.
She's been at it for a while over there with that. We need to take a break, and we will pick up this conversation on the other side. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Drugs.
If you come at the king, you better get in line. Stand there shaking, waiting for your turn. Behind the old front, just heat this alert. You better finish what you start. The media clouds aren't for the attack, but I stand 6 feet above the ground, because you can't keep a good man down. Come on, take your best shot. My brave, I'll rise again and again and say, you can't keep a good man down. No! You can't keep the good man down. You can't keep a good man down. In America,
looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel is a full-service organization with department staff, with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is Financial Advisor Susan Eastman at 530-244-7199. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Again, that number, 530-244-7199.
There she was, just a walking down the street singing.
Do what did it dum did it do?
Passing her fingers and shuffling her feet singing.
Do what did it dum did it do?
She looked good,
looked good.
She looked fine.
Looked fine,
she looked good, she looked fine. And I nearly lost my mind. Before I knew it, she was walking next to me singing.
Do what did it?
Holding my head and just as natural as can be singing.
Do what did it,
we walk on, to my door. We walk on to
Sovereign
my
Vines.
Door.
That's a little bit do what diddy dum. That's in honor of Diddy.
Diddy Daddy or whatever the hell his name is.
Yeah, I think he's sitting in some New York cell somewhere.
P. Diddler?
P. Diddler, yeah. That's the guy. Do what diddy, dumb diddy do.
Yeah. There's some other people that should go with that. I mean, Kamala's right there with him.
The word is that he's going to roll at some point, and then there's going to be named a lot of names of little high-profile people. We'll see what happens.
I don't believe that
suicide.
For a second.
I see suicide happening.
Well.
If there was such a thing as that, and there would be more cameras that went off and things of that nature.
Yeah.
Right now, the only person that's been prosecuted from the Epstein client list is is currently already back on house arrest and in a nice area. So that was nice.
We'll see what happens. If he starts pointing the fingers, there could be a lot of high profile names out there anyway. It's not like we don't already know anyway, a bunch of them.
Right.
Exactly.
Anyway,
I did have some information on some of the stuff that we had, and then we also have a caller.
Yeah.
But previously, before we went out, how prevalent is the misuse and abuse of Adderall in schools? So 1 in 4 middle and high school students are abusing Adderall in stock, NIH study finds. So 25% of the students are currently on Adderall, and it is currently an issue. And of the people that are actually on it that are supposed to be, you have 10% of the children, including 13% of the 12 to 17-year-olds that have ever been diagnosed with ADHD. And more controversially, many of the children, 61% of all children ages 2 to 17 with ADHD, are currently taking that medication.
And that's one medication. They have Ritalin, too, that they prescribe them. With that, we will go to our caller. Good morning, Lori.
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Hey.
I am loving this conversation, and I love and hug on your guest. Teresa Roberts is there in the trenches. She has been at the board meetings. She's at the commission meetings. She's everywhere. And Arthur Gorman, he's been on the SCOE board for about a year plus. And, I think we're all tired of the dumbing down, the Common Core, money for special needs kids, the IEPs. Big Pharma is trying to get their tentacles everywhere, trying to make it mental health, social services, Planned Parenthood, the pronouns, the porno in the libraries at schools. Come on. And I'm sorry the chat room's having a little glitch because of you-know-who.
Right.
And so I think we need to keep addressing this. And you don't need a degree. You don't need experience. It's the best thing ever when you get people with the fresh questions because they're like, oh, you're not an insider. You're not a part of the established swamp. No kidding. We're tired of the swampers and the people that have been benefiting. So, yeah, what happened to PE over the past decade or two? It's limited or dropped. The arts, music, the trades, all of it. We're all, those of us in the, paying attention are seeing it. So it's time we get some fresh people that walked and survived the trenches. So,
you
mean, that's what I wanted to say.
You mean CRT and DEI are not the best things for our kids?
Yeah.
And AI?
Why don't they keep making more acronyms? Oh, my gosh. Anyway, yeah. So, as being a clinician therapist in the school system with youth and family programs back in 2009-10, the kids were constantly on medications. They'd constantly switch it. They'd have a bad reaction, side effects. And they didn't give enough of a, what's called a drug holiday so they could clear that from their system. No, right away they switched dosages, they tried something else, and they crossed their fingers behind their back. It was insane. I could not stand it. Oh, my God, it just made me just verify. I'm going back to my other licenses and other background of what I have. But this is a disaster, and no wonder more kids are going into homeschool, charter, hybrid, other things than the public indoctrination. So I'll keep listening. I don't know if Teresa's on for the rest of the hour or what, but I'll hang up and let other callers get in. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Lori. We appreciate it.
Yeah. It seems like we have a drug-induced coma-tose person across the street over there. She's
you know, whatever rave is going on in her head, that looks like so much fun. Drugs.
You know, the fentanyl thing,
I don't think so.
I think the fentanyl thing concerns me big time. You know, obviously they've got the open border and everything going on there, and it's bleeding into our kids and our schools and everything else. But man, that stuff, like, it's not like you're just getting a good feeling off on a high. It's not like smoking a joint or something.
It'll kill you. But, and it's laced in so much of the other things. So that's the other thing. It's laced in a lot of these Adderall drugs that these kids are getting illicitly
and then
to make them more addictive.
These people, I mean, not only are they risking death at some point, but man, it just, I mean, it turns them into frickin' zombies. I mean, that's what I'm seeing. So gosh darn, if you're not concerned. I mean, that's why the public schools are in trouble, is because they're not teaching them critical thinking. They're indoctrinating them into society to obey and comply and not think about what is right and wrong or have a purpose in life. And that's the problem, in my opinion. And you got to clean this, you got to clean out the swamp, like Lori says. We've got people that are just in there milking the system for their own, monetary value, their own, benefit as far as money and power and retirements and all of that. I mean, at what point in time do we go enough's enough? I don't know.
Well, that's the problem with a lot of the programs. The education one is the government's in it to start with. Yeah. And second, that they tie the money to it. A lot of the people that's been in the system, you know, staff or whoever, is looking at the money piece. They're not looking at the kids.
It's about enriching themselves.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying, you know. And that's, we've got to take that back. The government should be out one.
So do you guys get paid? Let's say you get elected. Do you get paid?
No.
So who's the big money people that are they elected officials? Are they people that are being appointed to these positions?
They're people that are being appointed.
And who appoints these people?
SCOE.
Oh,
interesting. So,
if you're my friend, I can appoint you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Just thought I'd ask.
Well, and the other big thing that I see specifically is that we keep lowering the standards to be able to graduate. That's getting considerably worse and worse in the state of California. And even amongst the lower standards, some of the last data that we have that is a recent data is from 2021, which we know the problem has gotten considerably worse after the pandemic, which I believe personally is probably why they stopped doing as much reporting on it overall. But
there's so many things coming out on that. We could do a whole couple of shows on it. So, but let's try to stick to the SCOE part of things if we can. You know, I mean, and what Teresa plans to do and plans to, you know, so you're going to get a voting block now, is what you're trying to do to start appointing other people who, or what do you, I mean, you know, I'm trying to figure out what you're going to do.
No, it's a board of trustees, so there's seven of us, or there's seven people on this board, and I don't think that people, it's kind of like before Kevin and everybody else got in, everything was rubber stamped. Bring it in, rubber stamp it,
right.
Be done with it. No, I think we need to start going, wait, let's check out these programs that we have. Let's see what's working. Let's see what's not working. Let's go ahead and get rid of what's not working, and so we can put more into these kids. Okay, even though my son does not go to a public school,
right.
Okay, the kids here that do go to the public school, somebody's got to be their voice.
Thank you. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It has to
Thank
be corrected
you.
Somewhere because we don't have our kids in public school either. We pulled them out immediately. But not everybody can do that. Not
right.
everybody has the means to do that.
Right.
And so we've got to fix this problem. And California in general is just a real problem. You've got a bunch of liberal moron idiots up there that don't really care. All they talk about is that they care about everything. They care about your rights, except they don't want you to have any of them.
Right.
Their rights supersede your rights. So,
right.
so it's all BS. And we got to get back to common sense. You know, reading, writing, arithmetic, and teach the kids how to think, not what to think.
And true history.
Mm-hmm.
No, true history. Not what's the, not the revised history. The true history. That way it's not repeated.
Right.
Or
yeah.
repeated.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
No.
And we have to take care of the children.
Right.
Like you said earlier, they're the ones that are coming up. They're the ones that we're turning it over to, basically.
Right.
And they're the important ones that we need to stop and think about what's going on with them and really get involved to change this around instead of just going, you know, oh, well, you know.
We got to pour into each kid.
Exactly. Whether your kid goes to public education or private, you know, just because they go to private or so, when they get out in the real world, are they going to know how to act? Or you know what I mean? It takes a whole generation. It takes all of them.
Well, part of that is discipline and understanding what to do. I mean, because you can't cater to these kids to the point where you're just giving them what they want. You have
right.
to give
exactly.
them what they
That's
need.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
So in one of the schools here, I know the trades teacher. He's a construction teacher. And just right there in that school is an arts class. Okay. He says he's got a battle for funding. But the arts class has no problem getting funding.
Mm-hmm.
One of the students that was super excited to get into that arts class wound up getting into that arts class and come to find out it was full of Furbies.
Furries.
Furby?
Yeah.
Furries.
Is that a furry? Is there a new term I'm not familiar with?
I don't know what they were, but they're just... Okay.
That's not right.
Right.
That's what
but
it
the
is.
Thing is these.
Heard they had a cat box in the bathroom.
They do in some schools.
These kids have authority over the teachers. It's not the teachers that have authority over the kids. Okay.
See, that's so dangerous. It's ridiculous because when a kid realizes they're the ones in control, they internally know they don't have enough smarts, education, wisdom to be in control, which makes everything upside
chaos.
Down and crazy and chaos because the adults are supposed to be the ones that are in control, and they know that. And if they're in control, they're just going to act out any small thing that they feel like they should be acting out, and they're getting enough input from so many sources that pretty soon they're not in reality at all.
Yeah, just like somebody said, they're out standing behind the bleachers laughing at us,
laughing
at the adults because they have control.
And actually, kids, it's known kids do well in
discipline environment.
In a structure. They have to have structure.
100%.
Well, and it's interesting, too, because I'm looking at some of the charts right now. This is kidsdata.org. And for the state of California, it's specifically very interesting to me that the graduation rates for Filipino and Asian families is almost 95%. Why is that?
Culture.
It's culture. It's also
discipline.
Having parents and discipline.
Well, that's
at home.
Part of the culture of the parents. And I have several clients that are of Asian descent that actually escaped from South Vietnam, mm-hmm. for example. And they are, one's in the medical field. The one was an executive of a large company. They're in real estate because she's, doesn't let go. She's a mom that just sits there and keeps that on those children about accomplishment, getting it done, doing your homework, you know, and giving them a sense of having to work hard to get where you need to be,
mm-hmm.
not just have it handed to you. And that's why the Asian culture is like that. They, in a lot of cases, not obviously not every case, but they have a work ethic because they don't think anything's owed to them. They think they have to work to get it.
Morals and value over entitlement.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Well, and so then you start looking at the rest of the charts, and most of them end up dropping down to 80% or even down to 70% or lower based upon the people that are there. But right now, the dropout and recidivism rate on it is close to about 20%, and it's worse for males than it is for females. Females right. have about an 87% rate of being able to actually graduate and go on to do that, whereas the boys don't have anything to live for. The boys don't have any understanding. They don't have any male figures. They don't have anything that's telling them aside from the things of, oh, everything that you're doing that's masculine is toxic. Okay, that's the environment that we're teaching these boys in. And of course, they're going to end up saying, well, screw this. I'm not going to go to some place where I'm going to be belittled and berated for being a man.
Well, and then there's, I have some friends of mine I talked to yesterday. The kids are over here at Chico State. And he says his kids are too smart for that crap, you know. So it has to be instilled at a young age mm-hmm. that this is BS, and you just ignore it and do what you got to do to get where you got to go, you know. Yep. And that's comes from the parents as well. But it'd be nice, because when I was a kid, we had teachers that instilled that discipline. I mean, you if you got sent to the principal's office when I was a kid, it wasn't there to have a good talking to sometimes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, they initiated corporal punishment, SWATs, and now if you did that, the parents would probably fall apart at home.
They'd sue you.
They would probably sue you. Whereas in my day, when I was talking to the and I got SWATs a couple times, when I was talking to the principal, I said my main focus was, please don't tell my father, because I would get mm-hmm. disciplined even worse.
Mm-hmm.
So that you have to have some kind of a consequence environment. It doesn't necessarily have to be corporal punishment, but there has to be some kind of consequences to your behavior if it's not going to be acceptable.
Well, and now you can't even remove the problem children from the classroom. You can't call the parents. You can't kick them out of school. That's the new things that they're doing now, pushing
ridiculous.
Down the line.
Yeah.
So little Tommy can be in the back screaming his head off, slapping things, throwing things at other students, and you're not allowed to kick him out of class. That's a great learning place for other kids.
No, because obviously, everything's based upon their feelings. It's how little Tommy feels. It's how little Tommy or Susie feels.
Is this policy that we're talking about or conjecture? I mean, do you know that that's how it is in the classroom?
Yes. And mm-hmm. and they can't. It's because they get money for that kid. Money for that kid being on campus.
How many butts are in the seats is what they get paid.
Yeah. Hmm. So, like I said, back in my day, if I didn't want to be there, there's the door. Go. Go. You don't want to learn. You're not going to disturb the learning of the other kids.
Yeah, that was kind of environment I grew up in. If you didn't want to learn, then they'd make an example of you somehow or get you out of class.
You could always go to study hall and sit and do nothing, and that was one alternative. You could go there.
Right.
So this is not conjecture at all. This is this is education source. This was in regards to discipline on article September 9th, 2019. California to extend ban on pushing students out of school for disruptive behavior. So beginning next July. So
banned
this is,
students from leaving the classroom for disruptive.
Yes.
That's an actual rule.
That is a rule. That's
you gotta
a state.
You've got to be
kidding me. So beginning next July, so this started in July of 2020, teachers in California will no longer be allowed to suspend elementary and middle school
that's
students
existing,
from disrupting
that started classes. In 2020.
Yes, it's been going on for 4 years. Authorities, a law signed by Governor Gavin Newsom on Monday of this time. Current law already bans out-of-school suspensions for grades K through 3 as a result of the 2013 law signed by former Governor Jerry Brown. But Brown held the line on extending the ban to higher grades, where the far majority of suspensions occur, vetoed several bills that try to do just that. So, for all of the problem students between those grades now, you can't do anything about it. You as the teacher can't do anything about a kid that's being a problem in your classroom.
That's the problem. It's just like in the chat room. You know, you got these guys that have never been disciplined in any, or you know, you got a DA that won't prosecute them. I mean, at some point in time, the lid's going to come off on some of this crap.
Right. Well, I think it's starting to because if you know about the Chevron doctrine, there's cases that are happening with LGBTQ and transgender in the schools that they're walking back their policy, because that's exactly what they are, is policy. They're not law.
Right.
They weren't passed by Congress or somebody.
Well, the problem is that they don't want to
just... So they're walking it back and saying, hey, no, you can't do that anymore because this isn't right.
See, the problem is not that they should have every right that you have, but that's not what's going on.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The problem is they want to make your rights subservient to their rights, so you have no rights. That's the problem. And it's not equal rights across the board. It's that my rights are better than are worth more than your rights. So you have to pay attention to me more than I have to pay attention to you.
So when you look at this the transgender thing going in through the schools, when is it usually coming to them? When they are the most vulnerable.
Right. Yeah, when they first enter.
Yeah, I don't know.
Here's a question. Why do drag queen story hours not do drag queen story hours at the old folks' home, but they make sure that they do it at the kindergarten?
Because they're impressionable. So the funny thing is I don't know if you guys know anybody that when they were starting to go through puberty that were comfortable in their own body. I know I wasn't. I was a tomboy. My mom used to pay me with a banana cream pie to go and trim the trees. I was a tomboy. I'm so glad this wasn't.
Yeah, I was too, but that didn't mean that I wanted to be a boy.
You can't vote till you're 18, but you can at 13 or 11 make a decision about your body and your sex, right?
Right. That makes sense. And if your brain is not fully developed until the age of 25, okay, they're hitting these kids at the most vulnerable time in their life when they're just beginning to realize, okay.
Who they are.
Yeah. Okay, I'm a girl. I'm going to have,
So it looks like we do have a caller on the line.
Yeah, but
how confusing is that for a
child? It just makes it more confusing.
And you wonder why they put them on drugs. And with that, we'll go to Roberta. Good morning, Roberta.
Good morning. Well,
you're on the air.
I have a couple of points. Oh, I'm getting feedback.
Oh, well.
Do you have your radio on?
Turn your radio off.
No, I've turned it off.
Oh, then I don't know. Go ahead if you can.
Well, anyway, let me see if I can make a point here. Nowadays, the teacher is the one that is disciplined because they tell the teacher, well, it's your fault. You don't know how to handle your class.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
And then the other point is kids have to have an incentive to learn. And there's no incentives anymore either. So you have to tackle both of those ends.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
So, anyway, that's my point.
All right, thanks for calling in. We appreciate it. We're about a few minutes from the top of the hour. What do you want to get out? What do you want people to know about you?
How to get a hold of you? I'm going to fight for the kids because that's nobody else is doing it. And each kid is different, and we need to find the spark in their eyes so that we can encourage it to become a diamond. We're going to polish that. So if you'd like to get a hold of me, I am at Teresa Roberts for SCOE 2024 on Facebook. I don't have a website. I'm kind of a tech tard, so it is what it is.
Never heard that term, but
do you want to give out a phone number or no?
Yes. Phone number is 530-604-8512.
All right.
Very good. Well, we appreciate you coming in, and it's been a very good discussion on, different topics here as far as the learning of the kids and what you're going to plan on doing as far as getting into SCOE and making some changes for the better.
What districts can vote for you?
District 2.
Okay.
It's Area 2, actually.
Okay.
Area 1 is City of Reading, Old Shasta, and Enterprise.
Okay.
So where all that cuts off, it's kind of weird.
The whole thing's weird.
Yeah.
If you said you were from Area 51,
So if I remember correctly, there's 4 positions open, but 10 people are running or something like that, 7 people?
Yes. I don't know exactly how many people are
running. There's quite a few of you that are running.
I know that myself, Jackie LaBarbera, Richard Gallardo, and Michelle Tyson are all running. Michelle is Area 1, and the other three are Area 2.
Hmm. Which you all could basically get in.
So I guess we're probably going to have some of them on our show here in the future. We're pretty close to the election, though.
Yeah, I mean, what are we, like 40 days out or something? I mean, ballots come out on the 7th, and people can start voting on the 8th, I do believe.
Right. And to any of the other candidates, too. You've got an open offering to be able to come on here and be able to share
with people
what you want. Because the big thing about all of this is being able to know who people are, what they stand for, and being able to vote based upon that. Because right now, there's so little information out on all of these candidates that it's really hard to be able to say anything but a name on the paper.
Right.
So,
and it's a very important position. It's a very important election for SCOE.
So I am pro-family, pro-kid, pro-parent transparency, pro-rights. Parents' rights. They're the ones that are in the ditches with these kids.
Yeah.
Can't take that away.
I totally agree with that. Again, thank you for coming in, and
thank you for having me.
We'll be talking to you in the future, I'm sure. So there you go.
Very good. Well, we got another minute or so. Is that where we're at now?
About a minute.
Okay, so we're going to go out. This is a funny video that it's a new song. I guess it's called "Eat the Cat." I had to play it because this is all about the debate and Trump and all that stuff. But it's, I'll tell you what, it's taken on some traction. It's absolutely humorous as hell. Anyway, I guess we're gonna go
without.
They're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats. Eat the cat. Eat the cat. They're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats.
This was great.
Eat the cat. Eat the cat. They're eating the cats. They're eating the dogs. Eat the cat. Eat the cat.
Seeing red, so don't push me. Ain't Donald Trump trying to grab him by the. Said it was some Haitians somewhere out in Springfield.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Hezbollah launched more than 100 rockets across a wide area of northern Israel last night and this morning, and the terrorist group's deputy leader, Naim Qassem, says today that his group is now in an open-ended battle with the Jewish state. The rocket barrage overnight was in response to Israeli attacks in Lebanon that have killed dozens, including a veteran Hezbollah commander. High insulin prices spur a federal lawsuit.
The federal government is suing some pharmacy benefit managers over a system of drug rebates that regulators say has made the price of insulin soar for patients. The Federal Trade Commission says three companies that process about 80% of prescriptions in the United States have engaged in anti-competitive practices that spur price increases. Pharmacy benefit managers, or PBMs, run prescription drug coverage for insurers, large employers, and other clients. They set up formularies, or lists of covered drugs, and negotiate rebates off the drug prices. PBMs say the lawsuit shows that the FTC doesn't understand how drug pricing works. Ron Taylor reporting.
Venezuela's main opposition coalition wants the U.S. to cancel licenses for big energy companies.
The coalition aims to pressure President Nicolas Maduro to negotiate a transition from power. An advisor to Edmundo González Urrutia's campaign made the appeal recently. González represented the Unitary Platform Coalition in the July 28th election. He and opposition leader Maria Corina Machado claimed their campaign won by a wide margin. They contradicted national electoral authorities who declared Maduro the winner.
Correspondent Jeremy House. An explosion in a coal mine in eastern Iran. It has killed 34 workers and injured 17 others. The disaster began last night. It's the worst in Iranian history. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hey, folks. Donald Trump Jr. here. Let me ask you this. Does inflation feel worse than we're being told in the news? That's because the official inflation rate doesn't tell the whole story. Since January of 2021, the cost of living has increased by 17.9%. You can't get that money back. But what you can do is stop your losses today. How? By diversifying your savings into a gold IRA from my friends at the Birch Gold Group. When you're done, your money will be parked in a tangible asset with proven history. To see how it works, get your free info kit on gold IRAs by texting the word PREPARE to 989898. Birch Gold is the only gold company I trust. They provide an easy process to roll over your 401k or IRA into gold without losing your tax advantage status. So text PREPARE to 989898. That's PREPARE to the number 989898 to get your free info kit on gold IRAs from Birch Gold.
The United Nations General Assembly has approved a blueprint to bring the world's increasingly divided nations together to tackle 21st century challenges. Those range from artificial intelligence to escalating conflicts and increasing inequality and poverty. The 42-page Pact for the Future challenges leaders of the 193 UN member nations to turn promises into real actions, even as they get ready to meet in New York this week. Tens of thousands of revelers marked the opening day of the 189th Oktoberfest in Munich. The celebration began yesterday and runs through October 6th in 18 large tents covering the fairground. It is considered the world's largest folk festival. Security this year includes stepped-up safety measures in the wake of a deadly knife attack in Solingen, which is about 300 miles northwest of Munich. About 6 million visitors are expected over the festival's 16 days. News and analysis at townhall.com. California has a new bill to protect kids from social media addiction.
California Governor Gavin Newsom signs a law making it illegal for social media platforms to knowingly provide addictive feeds to children without parental consent. The legislation will take effect in 2027. The policies are part of a growing push in states across the country to try to address the impacts of social media on the well-being of children. I'm Julie Walker.
Today is Sunday, September the 22nd, and some notable people are celebrating a birthday today, including NFL Hall of Famer Harold Carmichael. He's 75 years old. Rock singer David Coverdale of Deep Purple and Whitesnake turns 73 today, while country singer June Forrester of the Forrester Sisters is 68. Actor Scott Baio, remember him? Well, he's 64 today. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Right, Boston there, kind of lighten up a little bit here. Here's something good. So we're back. Here's the town hall. We'll play that, and we got a couple of clips to play besides that. A little fun from J.P. Sears here in a minute. I'm telling you, this new one just I had me laughing out loud. So we're going to play that when we come back, but here's your town hall.
Good day. Welcome to this week's Town Hall News Brief. I'm Phoebe Johnson, your host, here with the latest local updates. The League of Women Voters hosted a candidate forum at Anderson City Hall, featuring four candidates competing for three seats on the Anderson City Council. Incumbents Susie Ball and Stan Nudsey, along with newcomers Darren Hill and Bonnie Simmons, shared their reasons for running and their top priorities for the city. Ball emphasized continuing the work on parks, police, and the aging water system. Simmons desires to bring new ideas and fresh perspective to the council. Nudsey prioritized maintaining Anderson's status as one of the safest cities in California and supporting the new city manager. Hill highlighted his background in construction, code enforcement, and cleaning up the community. All candidates agreed that fixing the aging water infrastructure was crucial, including sewer lines and streets also being mentioned. Simmons additionally expressed interest in making roads more bike and commute friendly, as well as focusing on housing and small business growth. The next forum will be held on September 25th for the Shasta County Office of Education Board. While local politics continue to shape the future of Anderson, exciting economic developments may be on the horizon for nearby Redding. Could Amazon be coming to Redding? Speculation grew as the city council met Tuesday in closed session to discuss the e-commerce giant's potential interest in Stillwater Business Park. Negotiations focused on Lot 11B, a 57-acre property. Details remained confidential as city officials were unable to provide further information at the time. This development followed recent Amazon facility closures in Yolo County and Irvine. Amazon's economic impact report indicated substantial job creation in California. The potential deal marked a significant opportunity for Stillwater Business Park, which had seen increased activity with Pace Engineering's new headquarters and the ongoing construction of a PepsiCo/Frito-Lay distribution center. While the type of facility Amazon might open in Redding was unknown, the company operated numerous fulfillment and sortation centers statewide. As the community awaits news on the potential economic growth, a recent incident serves as a potential reminder of the importance of community involvement and preparedness. Rich Novelli collapsed on the street and his heart stopped, leaving him with a mere 5% chance of survival. Fortunately, Mike Lawrence, a passerby on his way to church, witnessed Novelli's collapse and immediately sprung into action. Lawrence called 911 and performed CPR until emergency services arrived. Thanks to Lawrence's quick thinking and CPR skills, Novelli's color remained good and he ultimately woke up in the hospital, defying the odds. Novelli's life was saved by a stranger's willingness to help in a critical moment, highlighting the importance of knowing CPR and being prepared to assist others in emergencies. Lawrence's courage and selflessness in interpreting his plans to aid a stranger demonstrate the potential for everyday heroism within our communities. This story is a powerful reminder that learning CPR and looking out for one another can make a profound difference, literally meaning the difference between life and death. Speaking of community involvement and making a difference, an upcoming event aims to address a critical social issue affecting both local and global communities. The second annual Justice Crab Feed, a fundraiser to combat sex trafficking, will take place on September 28, 2024 at the Reading Civic Auditorium. Hosted by Justice 180 and co-sponsored by the Hard Places community, the event offers crab and tri-tip dinner with tickets priced at $100. Various sponsorships levels are available, ranging from $1,000 to $10,000, each offering unique benefits. The event will feature live, silent, and dessert auctions. Proceeds will support safe houses for victims of sex trafficking in Reading and abroad. The previous year's event raised $100,000 after expenses. For tickets or sponsorships, contact justicecrabfeed@gmail.com or event organizer Coach Greg Grandel at 530-604-4771. Thank you for listening to your Town Hall Brief. Join the conversation at Shasta Lake Town Hall on Facebook or at Town Hall News on X.
Alrighty then. So I guess this next one we're going to play, this is from J.P. Sears, and this is comparing conservative husbands with liberal husbands.
Oh boy.
And so you can just about imagine, but you don't have to, because here we go.
Honey, cancel your plans. Taking you out for dinner tonight.
Honey, would you like to do something tonight? Oh, you have plans with your boyfriend? Okay, Kevin's great. I can just stay in a hotel tonight. You have the house to yourself.
That's the mother of my children right there. Strong woman.
That's the border of my children right there.
Yeah, strong woman. I don't know. For some reason, peeing outside is just way more satisfying.
Yeah, I just think sitting down to pee is less messy. And I don't know why all men's rooms don't have tampons in them.
I'll be outside doing yard work.
No, I'm going to stay inside and do a crossword puzzle. Can we please get rid of the gas stove? The carbon footprint is frightening.
Honey, get my tools. I'm going to see if I can convert our stove to diesel.
Oh, excuse me, dear. I finished doing our taxes. I'm going to send in extra money just to be safe.
Yeah, I'm not going to pay our taxes this year. Government's gotten too tyrannical. I also read somewhere that taxes are illegal. Do you see that? Honey, I hit a deer with your car. The carcass is still on the driveway, but some meat's on the counter. Can you make a stew tonight? Yeah, of course it was an accident.
Yeah, I'll totally order DoorDash for you and Kevin. What time would you like it to arrive?
I just got a little gas from the chainsaw. It's nothing. No, it doesn't need stitches. Ooh, I'm getting a little lightheaded. I'm losing a lot of blood.
Where's my moisturizing lotion? My hands are dry. They're just so dry. Just really dry.
Ooh, now that is heavenly. Let me get the door for you, babe. Oh, I never open the door for her. She'll get mad at me. Ooh, honey, I heard a noise. I'm gonna go check it out.
I heard a noise. Can you go check it out?
Ah, unfortunately no one was there.
Was anyone there?
I just really wish someone would try to break in.
I mean, what if someone breaks in? We defunded the police, but they would still come, wouldn't they?
How do you think we could get someone to break in? It's so fun.
I'm sorry, this is just really scary for me.
Honey, I put a trail of your jewelry leading from the sidewalk up to the house. Hope someone takes the bait.
Wait.
That's funny. JP scores a good one there, man. So I did have a couple of other clips that I probably want to play here, and one is, and it's in response to, you know, the assassination. This is from Freedom Tunes, and it kind of mocks how the mainstream media just absolutely off the charts blaming Trump at this point for his, you know, his rhetoric, really, and they take no responsibility at all.
Of course
so
not.
So I'm going to go ahead and play this one, and then we can talk about it a little bit afterwards. But this is so on the mark with the way that they've been treating things that it's kind of funny.
Political prosecution may be coming soon, as Donald Trump has threatened to weaponize the DOJ against anyone who attempts to assassinate him. What could this mean for the future of our democracy?
This is an attack against the media. Trump supporters are already alleging that we encouraged the brave hero who shot at him.
Even though we've repeatedly told the public there is no room for political violence against the Nazi who is a living embodiment of all of our trauma.
That's exactly right. It's another sick...
Semper Tyrannus.
...attempt at endangering our lives with harmful rhetoric. No one in the press is encouraging violence.
That's right, and we still have no idea why the assassination attempt occurred. In fact, our network released this statement earlier today. We are unable to confirm the shooter's motive, as there are too many reasons to kill the former president. These range from saving democracy to the former president simply having a shootable face.
Exactly. The idea that we're encouraging this is simply a lie.
A baseless smear. For more information, we go live to our on-the-ground reporter who's within Trump's vicinity now.
Thank you, Mac. The former president seems to be incredibly agile. It's been characteristically Dang it.
Has there been any word from the intelligence community about this attack?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I'm here with CIA agent Charles Ramirez right now. Charles, what do we know about the failed assassination attempt?
Well, Bill, we've been aggressively investigating the assassination attempt, but we still haven't been able to confirm why it failed.
And what do the assassin's motives appear to be? Why did he do this?
Why does anyone do anything? It hardly seems an appropriate expenditure of tax money to ponder the inner workings of a man's heart.
Especially when Dostoevsky has already written about it so extensively.
Exactly!
Again! Whoever is trying to kill me must face severe penalties.
That was former President Donald Trump with an absolutely dangerous and irresponsible attack on our three-letter agencies.
Trump's condemnation of his attacker truly sets a dangerous precedent.
Absolutely tragic. And what's to be done about it? We go to our election expert for more answers now. Hello, Matt. Good evening, Roy. What must be done, and how do we say it without getting in trouble?
Well, the fact is, we need to save democracy, and we don't know how many more shots we're going to get. Get inside of Trump's head. Really open it up.
I see. We can't let the content of Trump's brains remain outside of our scope.
Correct. In fact, we may need to get into many people's heads to understand what the country is thinking. Sometimes when things are this bad, the only way to move forward is to assess a nation.
Yes. We need to assess a nation right now. Our only hope is to assess a nation.
Yes. It's the only way we can put this tyrant aside.
Exactly. The only solution is tyrantocide.
This is to all watching at home. A lemon ate Donald Trump. A lemon ate Donald Trump. I have just gotten word from my lawyers that it is not illegal to say a lemon ate Donald Trump now.
Yes, some say that shouldn't be legal to say on TV. In fact, they hope the courts strike down that former precedent.
And I completely agree. Anyone watching who has the capacity, please strike down that former precedent.
Eliminate Donald Trump.
Assess a nation.
Listen to my words. Carefully strike down the former precedent.
Wow. Well, and the sad thing?
The media are clearly trying to kill me.
He's endangering our lives!
It's so true.
Oh, you guys are the party of violence. That don't mind that fire in the back there. You know, this guy's
mostly peaceful.
Mostly peaceful. You know we're shooting at the former president, but you guys are the violent ones. It's so stupid.
Well, and they immediately after both instances come out and say, "Oh, we don't stand for violence of any kind." Followed by the very next day, his fascist dictatorship needs to be stopped by any means necessary. It's the greatest danger to our democracy, and he needs to be eliminated.
I know.
Democracy.
So, they use this word "eliminated" quite often when you're listening to
them. They know exactly what they're talking about. You know, these people are really evil. They really are. It's paid, corrupt, take your pick. It's just insane.
They're evil.
But so I have another clip on the same subject here. And this is from Buddy Brown, and this highlights what Hillary Clinton said this last week or so. Let's see what he has to say. He's got a little advertisement. Listen to the first part.
Top of the morning, y'all. Today we're going to talk about the difference between real patriots and fake patriots, like obviously Hillary Clinton, who disguises herself as a patriot, but she's evil as hell. I want to first call out fake meat, because we've been getting stuff from the store all the time that's stamped product of America, but most of the stuff ain't America at all. It's just packaged in America. That's why I partner with Backyard Butchers. We know it's not injected with anything. It's made right here. American beef. Good stuff. BackyardButchers.com. Use code BUDDY for 20% off your order. I will put the link below. All right, y'all. I hope you're sitting in your work truck with a fresh can of Copenhagen in, because this is going to rock you. Hillary Clinton goes on MSNBC last night, and she gives the creepiest interview I've ever seen. I can't even believe they aired this whole thing. The whole interview kind of sounds like passenger seat truck beers talking, except she's really going live with this crap. One day after Trump's second assassination attempt, she goes on and she says this. Watch.
And I don't understand why it's so difficult for the press to have a consistent narrative about how dangerous Trump is.
Wow.
Great journalist, Terry Evans, one time said that, journalists should, really try to achieve objectivity. And by that, he said, I mean, they should cover the object. Well, the object in this case is Donald Trump. His demagoguery, his danger to our country and the world, and stick with it.
Talk about cooling down the national temperature. Holy cow, how does she get away with this hate speech? It's one of life's mysteries, like how does an Amish girl know if it's a romantic candlelight dinner or just a regular dinner? And by the way, she really looks like the hell that she represents. You know what I'm saying? She looks like utter hell in this interview. This is what happens to these people. Do y'all notice? Because her hatred is eating away at what little soul that she actually has left. It's no wonder Bill, couldn't even stay interested in her. Good Lord. I mean, Hillary Clinton's kind of like the Dominican Republic. It seems harmless for about 4 or 5 days, and then you start finding out there's a crap load of problems. Trump was so dangerous that he gave us low interest rates, zero wars, low inflation, and a booming economy. But watching this video of Hillary, I swear, y'all, even the devil himself is looking at her like, dang, girl. I mean, I'm cunning and manipulative, but you scared the living hell out of me. She is teaching a master's class in egging on vulnerable and mentally unstable extremists to do something to President Trump. She knows exactly what she's doing, y'all. And the media letting this crap be aired, they know exactly what they're doing as well, MSNBC. Interviews like this statistically guarantee that you will breed more psychos to go after Trump. Also, keep in mind, this is the same lady who ignored all the phone calls when our consulate in Benghazi was under attack. The only danger Trump poses to Hillary Clinton is draining her pockets. Period. And I want y'all to understand something in all the chaos, if life doesn't make sense. I want y'all to understand this. The job of the mainstream media is to make you think that the views of 10% of the country are actually the views of 80% of the country. That's their job. And the last 12 out of 16 years that have all been Democrat, I mean, we better get out of here quick. It's like you're driving around and you see a closed down Church's Chicken. You know you're somewhere you don't need to be. Y'all be good. Go get you some Backyard Butchers. We need some safe, healthy food. God bless y'all. Appreciate you watching.
So,
wow.
There was a lot of wisdom in what he just said. And, we talk about the psychos. I mean, it's like our chat room. It's like the psychos show up, to close down the chat room. And it doesn't really bother us, but they're psychos. You'd think that they would, it would bother them to be psychos, you know.
But, well, the only way it bothers is they walk and breathe among
well,
us.
Well, they don't care.
It's like, I'm just it's saying like, they're among us. They're, that's the scary part.
These guys are so brainwashed and gaslit that they refuse to hear any facts that refute what they've been indoctrinated with. That's why that's part of gaslighting, is to isolate the victims of the gaslighting from any other information. You know, you go back to, Germany's Hitler. How did they send all those guys to the gas chambers? Because they were evil Jews, right? Well, they were getting no other information than that from any place else. So that's what they do. They gaslight them to the point where they hear nothing that refutes their arguments. Trump lies. I've yet to hear one person say what he's lied about. Trump's a danger to democracy. Yeah, he stopped having wars and.
Well, let's back up though. We're not a democracy.
I know.
Oh, I hate it's that. They're always republic. Saying, yeah, we're a republic. We're not a democracy.
The founding fathers said it was a mobocracy. You didn't want to have it. It was.
Yeah, there's a reason for that.
It was pretty soon you'd vote out your own rights. So, but the point is that they don't have any cognitive reasoning with their hate, with what's going on. But the guys at the top do. Hillary, this is all about them losing all of their nest eggs and their money. If we overturn the swamp, there goes their money train.
But there goes the
gravy train.
Right. But listen to Hillary when she first opened up. I don't understand why the journalists can't all get on the same page, basically, is what she was saying.
And these guys that are
telling the same story. What's the problem?
Well,
everybody should be telling the same story.
This is really all about money in the end. These guys are all getting paid to say what they say on MSLSD. These politicians are all getting paid. The kickbacks, the money going to Ukraine, all of this is all about money. And these morons are not smart enough to figure out that they're being manipulated to the point of stupid. So,
yeah, but she was more upset that they weren't all on the same page than anything else. And that whole spiel that she went through was, why can't you guys get your crap together? Because we can't indoctrinate the people if you don't all get on the same page.
Mm-hmm. Well, on that note, we do have a caller. We've got Dick in line. Good morning.
Good morning. Linda Kent. This is Dick.
Hey, Mr. Wilkinson.
Yeah, I've been at the airport all morning. I just got home, and I'm not sure. Did you mention about the fundraiser at the... Okay, I'll do it.
All right.
Anyway, there's a fundraiser for the Veterans Home on Knighton Road. And the state is run by the state, and there's a group called Northern California Veterans Support Group. And what does this group do? Well, we raise money to provide stuff for them because the state has very limited funds. Anyway, some of the things we've done recently, we recovered the pool tables, which we purchased a few years ago, supplied military flags and stands for every branch of service, built the bocce ball court, purchased a bumper pool table recently, purchased shovelboard and dance floor, and July 3rd we had a root beer float special. That's some of the stuff we've done. It's all done by volunteers. We receive no compensation for helping. It's all volunteers. As you know, you're the president, I'm the treasurer. Mm-hmm. And as a fundraiser, this next Saturday, the 28th, the last Saturday of the month, at Anderson VFW, it's spaghetti, meatballs, salad, bread, and dessert. Tickets are $15 for adults, veterans $13, kids 12 is under $10. And I have tickets if anyone wants to go, or you can buy them at the door. And anyway, it's next Saturday from 4 till 7 p.m. at the Anderson VFW at September 28th, the last Saturday of this month, a week from yesterday. Anyway, I have tickets here. If anybody like to buy some, come by the Red Barn or give me a call. Get a pencil, guy, people. Get a pencil. 530-246-9131. Or Linda Billings, me, who's the secretary, she has tickets too. 530-510-0612. Anyway, I have tickets. It's only $15 for a spaghetti meatball dinner. And it's all to help the Veterans Home on Knighton Road, a state-run facility. Anyway, that's all I have to say. Anyway, you may want tickets, give me a call.
Hey, 530.
Dick. Yes, yes.
Yeah, go ahead. Give the number.
530-246-9131. Or come by the Big Red Barn off of South Bonneville that has all the Christmas lights every year. I should be home all day.
I was going to ask you, you know how many meatballs each meal gets? I will see. I'll see you on Tuesday. Thanks. We appreciate you.
I don't know how many veterans get. So
gotcha.
Okay.
All
okay.
Right. Thank you.
Thanks for allowing me a couple minutes to come on.
You bet. Thanks a lot for everything you do. Appreciate you.
Do we have any other announcements while we're at it?
No, that was the one I had.
Yeah, I mean, we do want to say shout out to a couple of our sponsors, I guess. I wanted to get into the meat of the interview with our guest, Teresa Roberts, today, just because we were limited on time. But
as long as it's not cat meat. I wonder how many people are identifying as furries.
I don't know, but we're not brought to you by Friskies.
The Haitians adopted Garfield.
It's more like
Garfield.
It's more like the Friskers. I know, it's crazy. So we do want to mention Julie Foster, Allstate Insurance Agents down there in Red Bluff, and then Luke Pearson Construction, Custom Homes and Excavating. You can give him a call at 530-605-9575. He's licensed and bonded. And Crackmasters, Jeff Wurst, he's down there at Crackmasters, and I don't have his number.
3208 here. South Market Street. His number is 530-241-8373.
Shout out to Marty McGill, Clear Creek Microgreens, and MountaintopMedia.com, where we will be having a show tomorrow, and I think we have a special guest on there, Patrick Jones, talking about local politics and some of the corruption that's been going on around here. Just
no
saying.
Corruption.
So that'll be on Rumble and Mountaintop Media. I think that's what we got. And is it time for a break? Should we? Yeah, let's go to a break, and then we'll come back.
All right. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Back in about three.
I've been down, counting out, smiling through the taste of blood in my own mouth. I got bruises and broken bones, but they don't know I ain't in this ring alone. I'm a fighter, no one can say that I'm a running hider. I was born to be a do or dyer, a make it rider. Don't throw that towel just yet, don't cash in that last bet, 'cause I hit harder when I'm tired. I'm a fighter.
Whether you're looking for unique items for your home or office, shop Memory Lane Antiques, Vintage, and Collectibles at 1773 Highway 273 in Anderson. Memory Lane offers a variety of antiques, military memorabilia, camping and mining equipment, men's jewelry, including crosses and rings, along with sports memorabilia and collectibles. Memory Lane also features antique and upcycled furniture and decor, including paintings and signs, picture frames, books, and movies. Memory Lane Antiques, Vintage, and Collectibles also has a wide assortment of jewelry to choose from, including antique and vintage, to costume and classic jewelry. They also feature a distinct Amish collection of items and gifts. Memory Lane is open Monday, 10 to 6, closed Tuesday and Wednesday, open Thursday through Saturday from 10 to 6, and Sunday, noon to 5. Memory Lane Antiques, Vintage, and Collectibles at 1773 Highway 273 in Anderson.
As a thank you for your outstanding service, Wind River Resort and Casino would like to honor you with our Military Monday promotion. Join us every Monday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. to receive your dining discounts and free slot play. Active or retired military members can present their military ID at the River Club to be entered into this weekly promotion. For more details, download the Wind River app or visit windriver.com. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence. You can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Like Grandma and Grandpa used to play. Then I'll float on down the river to Cajun Hideaway.
I like the mountains. I don't care about anybody else. I like Alabama.
I liked Alabama for a long time. Actually, saw them in Mountain View.
It's Shoreline Theater.
A long time ago.
That was a while ago. Okay, I do have a clip here that I just screened. That's what I was doing.
Before we get there,
we do have a caller.
We got Andrew on the line from Bernie. Good morning, Andrew.
Hey, guys. Hey, I wish I was listening today, but Mark, I'm deer hunting.
Oh, I did that yesterday, but I had to come in here. I have obligations, you know?
Oh, I understand. I do not, but I am going to call you. The problem up here is, well, is everywhere. My neighbor tried to eat my cat, so I picked
it. Are you still there, Andrew?
Is that why you're hunting, Andrew? Because you ran out of meat?
No, it's just because. Look, I saw that meme this morning. I came into town to get breakfast. Saw that and go, I got to call that kid. This is funny.
Yeah, that cat song is funny. I got to play it. Yeah.
Good Lord. Anyway, no, I love your show, and thank you for letting me call in and air my... Oh, I have to apologize to Rickert. I have seen license plates that aren't personalized with three numbers and then letters. I'm looking at my four-wheel drive that way. So she must be a conservative because she hasn't spent the money to change that, right? So I'm wrong. My plates on my off-road vehicle are three numbers and then three letters, and I apologize deeply, Mary. I'm sorry. Change that plate, baby. Please. So...
That's why I remained neutral last week because I had heard conflicting reports. So I didn't want to weigh in until I don't want to be the first one. I want to be the right one.
Because I'm a conservative and a constitutionalist, I want to make things right. Mary, I'm wrong. I apologize.
There
but change that, baby. Change it. Anyway, thank you so much.
Thanks,
all right, thanks for calling.
Hey,
I appreciate it.
Go out there and get a 4-point or something and let me know if you got one.
Yeah, don't do catch and release, kill it.
Some guys, did you catch a deer? Well, I hope not. So we're looking for both.
There you go.
Hey, it's squirrel season also, and they are delicious.
Hey, when does quail season start?
I believe it's on now. It opens in congruent
with deer season.
Mountain opened earlier, but the valley quail are now open, I believe.
Oh, I'll have to look to make sure, yeah, because I'm thinking quail stew sounds pretty good.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, or they are good. Yep. All right, guys, thank you.
All right, thanks for calling in.
Thanks a lot. We appreciate
and
it.
And with that, we do have another caller. We've got Stones on the line. Good morning.
Are you there, Rich?
Hello?
Yeah, there's always a delay for some reason.
Yeah, there you
go.
Hey,
good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Couple quick things and then the short announcement after. So last week, the city of Anderson City Council, they passed a resolution to be a parental right to know, we'll call it a city jurisdiction. So this has to do with schools. This has to do with parents being notified of things happening with their kids. And of course, this is just a resolution. It's a political statement, but it's still powerful. City of Huntington Beach did this, I think, a month or two ago, and Huntington Beach is a charter city. And by the way, Huntington Beach are the ones that passed voter ID for local elections, by the way. So they're really kicking it down. They're kicking it down there. But so the city council of Anderson said, yes, we desire to be a parental right to know jurisdiction. So that's pretty powerful.
Yeah, no, that's good. I'd like to see our Board of Supervisors pass a resolution to for voter ID as well. I mean, the canard argument is, oh, we don't want to disenfranchise voters. Oh, you mean the ones that have to get their welfare and plane tickets and driver's licenses and all that in order to function in this society, those ones?
So unfortunately, after Huntington Beach did their voter ID, the state introduced the bill. Senate Bill 1174, it is currently enrolled, meaning they just need the governor's signature, and it will be signed. Well, so as of January 1st of next year,
and you have to ask yourself a question. Why does the liberals not want voter ID? Because they don't want it. They don't want a fair election. They don't want any cheating. Anything they do is so that they can cheat.
Yeah, absolutely. And then switching similar to a school-related topic, Peoria, Arizona, there's in the Glendale, Arizona area, there's a district called Peoria, Arizona. I have looked up the minutes for that school board. Fourth largest school board student population in the state of Arizona. It's huge. About 3 weeks ago, they voted to discontinue a failed 5-year in-school mental health program. They voted and said, you know what? We've been doing this for 5 years. It sucks. In fact, it's not helping education nor mental health. In fact, it's harming. And they voted to not renew the mental health contract in their schools. Guess what needs to happen everywhere else in this country? The same thing. Failed programs need to be evaluated. And we need to wish them away into the cornfield when they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. So good for Peoria, Arizona. And I hope this spreads very quickly, maybe even here in South County.
Well, in order to have a successful business model, Rich, you have to be willing to fire people and you have to be willing to stop functions that are not productive.
Yes. Absolutely. And then those are a couple of big announcements that have recently happened in the school arena, which is good. And quick announcement, this Saturday, September 28th, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., Lake Redding Park Gazebo, we're going to have a Get Out the Vote event. It's going to be SCOE-centric and school board-centric, however, all conservative Republican candidates should have been invited by now to attend and have their table and flag and all that for their campaigns. We will have a couple of local elected officials. Right after opening ceremony, we will have a couple of elected officials speak on parental rights, so that should be pretty powerful. There will be a food truck and an ice cream truck there, so bring your appetite. And hopefully the weather will hold. It looks like it will, especially with the weather this week. So should be a beautiful day. There's lots of lawn area next to it, so bring your kids and lawn chairs and footballs and stuff, because you know the kids can have fun on the lawn area while the adults are doing the adult thing. And should be a fun time, 10 to 1, and then after 1 p.m. there'll be the SCRA has agreed to do some private candidate interviews, but those are private.
Where's this gonna be at again, Rich?
Lake Redding Park Gazebo Picnic Area.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
Very good. All right.
We hope to see everybody there.
All right. I'll see if I can make it.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for the call.
I'll be busy. I'll be cooking spaghetti.
Oh, you're going to be on the spaghetti run.
I'll be on the spaghetti run.
Have a good day.
All right, thanks. And back to the programs before we go on. You know, just because you throw money at these programs doesn't mean that they work or do anything for the the people or the kids.
Well, and it's interesting to me how they need to constantly inflate the numbers because the numbers suck. So this right here is from Newsweek, and it shows that California ranked at the very bottom. Just 84.7% of California residents aged 25 or over graduated high school, according to 2022. Now, mind you, I find it very curious. Why would they have to go out to 25 to get that number? Oh, maybe because they're not graduating these students at, you know, 18 when they're supposed to graduate? You look over at what's going on in Europe.
Or maybe they went back and, you know, needed to get the high school diploma.
That's my point. Yeah. Basically, yeah. At that point in time, once they're older, they end up going back and getting it. But that's the numbers that they're putting out. They're not actually putting out the dire circumstances of the actual numbers.
You mean? So you actually know what's really going on? I mean, come on.
Here's another interesting one from the LA Times. Only 1 in 5 lawmakers has a child in public school, and interestingly enough, about 1 in 10 California senators and assembly members have children in private schools, totally while 15% have no children. But yeah, pretty interesting. So
totally figures. I mean, and so I want to bring this clip up, and it kind of goes to what we're, you know, does it not drive you crazy when you ask a politician a question and they answer everything but the question you ask?
Give
and
you word salad?
Yeah, it's like, what do you think the budget for the next year should be? Well, let's see, the sex habits of tree toads in the Amazon are, you know, it's like they never answer a freaking question.
Word salad. It's,
so I want to play this because I think this lady hits the nail on the head.
This is a good clip.
And this is about Kamala, and here we go.
Kamala Harris, you are as fake as press on nails, and I can see right through you. Let me help you out with something, because maybe somebody must not have told you. I'm on TV and on every interview giving the same tired answer. So let me just help you out. When you are asked a question, why don't you try answering the question? People are not stupid. We can tell when you're dancing around the issue instead of answering the question. When you're asked, are people better off now or during Donald Trump's presidency? When you're asked about the border or your policies on immigration, answer the question. We don't care about your middle class upbringing. We don't care that your mama had to save up to buy a house. We don't care about your summer job at McDonald's. We don't care about the lawns of the neighborhood that you lived in and how everybody took care of their lawn. That does not matter to me, and it doesn't matter to anybody else. I want you to answer the question, because if people, my mind is already made up too, Kamala, because I can see right through you and I know that you fake. But for somebody else whose mind is not made up, let me just help you out. Answer the question so that they can decide between you and your opponent. I don't know if you're just trying to paint him as the villain and try to skate by to be the, like you the hero or the nice person. We don't care about that. Because being a hero and voting for the nice person is not what pays the bills. You understand what I'm saying? We can see through you. And that fake black accent that you keep doing, girl, you need to stop. Because you know good and well that you ain't got no black accent. You know good and well that you was born in from San Francisco and in Canada. Where you get that black accent from? Stop doing that trying to be relatable. This does not make you relatable. It makes you look fake. And those of us like me, we can see through that. We can see through that. We can see through every interview that you do that instead of answering the questions that are on the mind of the millions of American people who have the power to elect you to the highest office in the land, you're dancing around the issue and you want to talk about how you was born a middle class kid and how your mother had to save up to buy a house. I don't care, Kamala. So just to recap, stop dancing around the issue. Answer the question. If you're going to do an interview, answer a question that you are asked at the interview.
I think that was pretty good.
Yeah, she did a good job.
That's what we're talking about. I mean, I'm tired of these guys dancing around the issues. You ask them a question, anything you ask them, they don't give you an answer to. You know, I want to know what your thoughts are, what your policy is going to be, you know, what you're going to enact, you know, where are we going with all this? And we don't get that because it's all about placating. It's all about platitudes. It's all about trying to make you feel like they're a good person or whatever. But they never talk about how they're going to fix things on the left.
Well, they don't answer on the left a lot of times because they don't want you to really know what they aren't going to do.
Well, and the big question is, why does she keep coming out and saying she's going to fix it when she's already been in there?
That's a good question. 3.5 years later.
Here's Tim Walz, Tampon Tim, telling us what the problem is here. Here's the problem right here in a nutshell, 7 seconds.
We can't afford 4 more years of this. We can't.
Isn't that the truth? We can't afford.
Yeah, we can't afford 4 more years of us.
Well, and it all gets back to the dumbing down of the population. So I keep going back to this, and here's an exact example. This is from Salina, Kansas, 1895. This is eighth grade final exams. Grammar time, 1 hour. Give 9 rules for the use of capital letters. 2, name the parts of speech and define those that have no modifications. 3, define verse, stanza, and paragraph. 4, from what principal parts of a verb? Give principal parts. Do, lie, lay, and run. 5, define case, illustrate each case. 6, what is punctuation? Give the rules for principal marks of punctuation. 7 to 10, write a composition about 150 words to show therein that you understand the practical use of the rules of grammar. Here's where it gets very interesting, to me at least. Arithmetic, 1.25 hours. Name and define the fundamental rules of arithmetic. It has a wagon box one, which is interesting, but not super important. But the number 4 and number 5 is really, really interesting to me. So number 4, district number 33 has valuation of $35,000. What is the necessary levy to carry on a school 7 months at $50 per month and have $104 for incidentals? That's interesting. You know, that's kind of like how you'd manage your own money and actually figure things out. Here's another one, too. This one's pretty interesting. Find the interest on $512.60 for 8 months, 18 days at 7%. Here's another one. Find a bank discount, $300 for 90 days, no grace at 10%. Wow, that's really weird. Eighth graders would know how to manage their books, be able to figure out the interest on loans and how much things are actually costing them, and how to be able to plan for, you know, their life. When's the last time you saw a kid's schoolwork that looked anything like that? And this is just portions of it. By the way, on that portion, you only had 1.25, and we only went through 3 of them. So that's kind of interesting.
So I got to bring this point up here because I think it's important. This is so we've kind of had two themes here: mainstream media and the disinformation and so forth, and then the schooling. But this just came out. General Milley, the guy that's the Joint Chiefs of Staff, ignored Trump order to deploy the National Guard at the U.S. Capitol prior to January 6th. Now we've got the transcript from the Oversight Committee that came out, and this is, I quote, this is what Trump said on January 3rd. The president says, hey, look at this. There's going to be a large amount of protesters here on the 6th. Make sure you have sufficient National Guard or soldiers to make sure it's a safe event. And he says also, hey, I don't care if you use guard or soldiers, use active duty. Do whatever you have just to make sure it's safe. This is the guy they said incited the riot. Okay. Now we've got Christopher Miller, Acting Secretary of Defense, on January 6th. Everyone was like, did you listen to the president's speech? I'm like, the guy speaks for 90 minutes and it's like Castro or something. No, I've got work to do. So they're ignoring Trump, trying to say, get somebody down there to make sure this is safe. And then they lie about it, saying that he incited the riot.
Mm-hmm.
And then now you've got Chief Stevens' son, U.S. Capitol Police, saying the representative from the Secretary of Army said, I don't like the optics of the National Guard standing in line with the Capitol in the background. So this whole thing was complete BS. What this shows is that this whole thing was a setup by the FBI, the guys that were involved in this thing, because they could have had people down there. They ignored Trump's request to make sure it was safe. They incited the riot. They threw percussion grenades in until they got everybody riled up. There was nobody there to stop it on purpose from these guys. And so at what point in time do you go, these lying SOBs should be the ones that have been prosecuted on for the January 6th riots, because they're the ones that let it happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there's actually, to that end, there's a very interesting piece that came out from Just the News on the 18th and was updated yesterday. So second Trump assassination attempt. These are all the times that the FBI knew of the individual and they were on their radar. So that's point number one here. Let's just go through some of these. Second Trump assassination attempt. The most recent event took place on Sunday when 58-year-old suspect Ryan Weasley Ruth allegedly aimed an AK-47 through the fence at Trump's golf course. The Georgia school shooting. Prior to the second assassination of Trump on Friday, the FBI admitted it was notified about online posts from the student who went on to commit school shooting in Georgia earlier the month. Colorado LGBT club shooting. The FBI was also notified about the convicted shooter at an LGBT club in Colorado Springs, 2022, before the shooting, which killed five people and injured others. The Parkland shooting. Nicholas Cruz, who went on to kill 17 people at the Majority Stoneman Douglas Elementary School in Parkland, Florida, had been on the FBI's radar approximately 6 weeks before the 2018 shooting took place. Orlando gay nightclub shooting. The man behind the devastating attack on the gay nightclub in Orlando, Florida in 2016 had been on the FBI's radar for at least 3 years. The big events that we all keep seeing over and over again, they're aware of the subject. He's on the radar.
What about Vegas shooting? You know, the
one that
concert.
We don't hear about
How
anymore?
We never hear about that one
that
anymore.
It just kind of went away?
How about we never hear about the facts that on the top of that building there was a Saudi Arabian prince that ended up owning the area that was actually up there at the time? How about we don't talk about all of the people that got shot straight through the head down to the bottom of their buck? And that ended up happening and coinciding during a time when you had multiple helicopters that ended up coming into the area, turning off their transponders, and then after the incident, turned on their transponders and went away. Why don't we talk about all the stuff that went on?
I have another question. Why do we ever talk about Building 7?
Mm-hmm.
Why do we ever talk about Building 7? Isn't that interesting? Yeah, never got hit by a plane. It just imploded. Hmm.
Why don't we talk about all the money that was missing? Just notified a couple of days beforehand.
Why don't we talk about Oklahoma City?
Donald Rumsfeld, Oklahoma City. I mean, come on.
We can keep going on and on about that stuff. Yeah, why don't we talk about that stuff anymore?
Because Trump's a liar.
Because Trump made it happen. It's his fault.
We're down to about the last 5 minutes.
You know,
has anybody got anything out there that they want to put on the table?
I got a big one here. So just on September 19th, this is on SCNR.com. So 158 Democrats oppose bill to deport illegal aliens convicted of sex crimes. The bill, H.R. 7909, passed the House with 266 to a 158 vote with unanimous support from Republicans backing from 51 Democrats. In addition to deporting individuals convicted of sex crimes, legislation would render foreign nationals who have committed domestic violence or sex-related charges inadmissible to the U.S. Representative Nancy Mace, the sponsor's bill, said the measure sends a strong message to foreign nationals who seek to commit crimes in the U.S. We are fed up with headlines about women losing their lives or becoming victims of assailants who trespassed into our country illegally under the Biden-Harris border crisis, Mace said. The legislation sends a strong message: if you're an illegal who has committed acts of violence against women, you will not find sanctuary here. Interestingly enough, 158 Democrats voted against that for whatever reason, and only 51 voted for it, which I applaud the 51 that did. Big round of applause. But what about the other 76%?
Here, I got one. What about when they published that 17,000 deaths from hydroxychloroquine. It never happened.
Yeah, I saw that.
You know, it was a false information from the left that happened. They could have died.
They could have died.
There's a lot of difference between dying and could have died from it.
I guess that this was retracted not only the mainstream media that shouted false information. It was retracted because of Belgium. Data set was fraudulent, and the article referenced.
Yeah, that's where I was going with it.
Yeah, go ahead.
It was redacted because the Belgium database was fraudulent, and the article referenced the New England Journal of Medicine 2020 recovery trial that was deeply flawed. Study that implemented treatment in the severely ill and gave patients extremely high doses of HCQ.
So in other news, the Navy's commissioned its first co-ed submarine.
Oh, Oh, there's not going to be any problem with a co-ed submarine, right?
No, not at all.
There's
never been any reason why you wouldn't want to do that. But the USS Navy and Virginia class first attack submarine received the military in April. The ship was specifically designed to accommodate a mixed gender crew with spaces for women and as well as men. The commissioning ceremony for the USS New Jersey was held on September 14th at the Naval Weapons Station, Earl and Middletown. Commander Steve Hale and the vessel's commanding officer said the ceremony marked a truly historic moment. So it'll be interesting to see how many couples come off of that ship. That'd be great.
Here, I got one really quick. California Fire Agency engineer arrested for suspected arson of 5 wildfires.
Jeez. And I don't think we have full time to get into it, but that attack from Israel using the pagers and on the on the radios, that was some crazy James Bond stuff, y'all.
Man, I'll tell you, the world is
That was well orchestrated, that one.
Yeah.
For quite a while.
I think we're about it. I think we're about done. I mean, I'm not sure where we're at.
We got about a minute and 10 to go.
So there is another big one, and it's about the California ban on AI-generated political
speech. Oh, for the actors and actresses? They don't want that they have to have their permission?
That's all backfiring, that whole thing you signed about the AI stuff. Everybody just starts posting more. What are you going to do about it?
Well, so here it is. Assembly Bill 2839 goes into effect immediately, expands the prohibition. It bars any person from committee or entry from distributing election communications or advertisements containing maliciously deceptive content.
Now, Hillary wants to prosecute you for that, too. That came out of her speech the other day.
Especially if the content portrays candidates, election officials, or election equipment in a false or misleading way. So somebody came out with a parody that he clearly had said was a parody about Kamala Harris and all the stupid crap and her ideas. Oh, right. There we go.
All right. I guess we're at the top.
All right. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. And if you lean left, you should try leaning right.
Oh. Don't go pair it with the government. All gun control is racist.
We'll see y'all next week.
I am just a
Regional Medical Center.